What's up, Happy Lifers? Thanks for joining us today. I am so happy you did. And I am so happy to be able to tell you this. I couldn't tell you last week because it hadn't happened yet, but I shot my first Thanksgiving turkey this year. Now, it scared my family half to death who were sitting around the table at the time. But after they calmed down and talked about it, they all realized that turkey had it coming. And after that, the Thanksgiving meal was so much more peaceful. Come on, admit it. Don't tell me there haven't been several Thanksgivings or many Thanksgivings where you thought, this Thanksgiving would be a lot better. I could be a lot more thankful if it wasn't for that turkey sitting right over there. You're road tripping with Steve-O today. That's the joke that I started with this morning, and I thought I'd share it with you. I'm a little loopy because it's late at night, and I just got home. It's around 10 or 11, something like that. I don't even know, man. I'm in a different time zone. I'm here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and it's cold out there. A little bit of snow hit the ground this morning. I saw little snowflakes come down, and I'm sitting in this VRBO, or is it an Airbnb? Someone tried to tell me the difference today, but I'm sitting in this unit where it's just like a tiny house, maybe 800 square feet. It's such a cozy place. I'm sitting on this couch, and right in front of me, the whole like front of the house is nothing but windows. The window has to be 10 feet tall, something like that. And right in front of that window, maybe not even a stone's throw away, maybe not even 10 yards maybe, is this gigantic, huge oak tree that I can't even see the top of it. Looking up out this 10-foot window at the angle that I'm at, and I can't even see the top. It's just all the leaves are gone. They're on the ground. And it absolutely is just breathtaking. And I thought I would bring you on this journey with me. In fact, and I thought, and it's just breathtaking. And no lie, just a few minutes ago, a fox, no lie, I'm telling you the truth, this fox walks right within like 5 feet from the window, maybe 6-7 feet from where I'm at right now. It walked right in front of the window. It was clueless that I was even here because I've got the lights off because I'm just enjoying the scenery out there. It's absolutely beautiful. I was going to come home today and I was going to post this later on, record something tomorrow for the introduction, and then post it later on. But then I got home tonight, I saw this view, and I thought, you know what? I'm not only going to sit here, but I'm going to bring you Happy Lifers with me. So I hope that I'm painting the picture well for you. If you listened to last week's podcast, I told you I was going to do this, and I am going to do it now. I'm going to post a live cast that I did with Joe McCarthy of Mojo Studio, our brother studio in Southern California. You can check him out at Mojo, M-O-J-O-E dot studio. He's got blogs, he's got podcasts, he's got a ton of stuff that will really inspire you. But he's the real deal, and I'm proud to be in a studio friendship brotherhood with him. And we did a recording last week about Thanksgiving that I was going to post on Thanksgiving Day or post on, you know, before Thanksgiving. And I thought I figured I'm going to hold off on that because I for the reason I'm going to explain right now. I hope your weekend was fantastic. I hope your Thanksgiving was amazing. One of the things I talked about this morning is how awesome Thanksgiving Day actually is. And wouldn't it be great if we could take Thanksgiving and turn it into Thanksgiving, where the day, like, for instance, the turkey that I shot. I didn't really shoot anybody, so you don't need to call the authorities or anything. But when we have turkeys in our life, every one of us, when we have family get-togethers, there's going to be drama, right? That's just how it works. That's how families are. I think that's a sign of health, not a sign of unhealthy. I think it's a healthy sign. It's going to happen. You only step on the toes of those that you're close to, right? If someone is far away from you, they're not going to step on your toes. So that happens. But when it happens on Thanksgiving, we have to be thankful, right? It's in the name itself. You want to get angry, you want to throw a fit, but then you realize, wait a minute, I need to be thankful for what I have. that's what you do over Thanksgiving. And I think it's such a great attitude to have. It gives people grace. It gives people, I'm not going to focus on the drama. I'm not going to shoot that turkey. I'm going to love that turkey and hang out with that turkey. And then we're going to laugh about it later on our way home back to our house or when they leave or whatever the case may be. The other thing I talked about this morning about Thanksgiving is I talked about many things this morning, but one of the other things that I talked about was I love how Thanksgiving's on Thursday. Then it gives you the whole weekend to eat the leftovers. And every time you eat the leftovers, in some way that reminds us that it's the Thanksgiving weekend. It's a holiday. You know, we talk about how holidays should be celebrated for more than one day. And something like Thanksgiving, it's not just at the holiday that we pass over. A lot of times we want to pass over Thanksgiving, and we want to get into Christmas and get into the holidays. And we just look past Thanksgiving. But Thanksgiving is the godfather. It's the basis. It's the heart of all the other holidays, especially this time of the year, in my opinion. When we go into Christmas and we're not thankful for what we get, we're not thankful at Christmas, it becomes a spoiled, greedy holiday, right? That's all about, that turns us into the Grinch. But the Who's Down in Whoville did not, right? The Who's Down in Whoville were all about, they knew it wasn't in the trees or the presents. They knew it was in the people and the friends, and it's in the attitude. It's in being thankful for what you have. So I love the fact that we celebrated for more than just a day, and I hope it was fantastic. And the reason why I didn't post it last week, because I thought, you know what, to help with that point of turning Thanksgiving into Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving is such an awesome day. Our happy level, our peaceful level, our serenity, our mental health, everything increases when our thankful increases. When our thankful meter is up, our happy meter is up. Our peaceful meter is up. And so Thanksgiving should be more than just a day. When we run into drama on Thanksgiving Day, we let it pass because it's Thanksgiving. But what if we had that attitude all year long? So I decided to share this thing that I did with Joe, and it's going to be a little bit longer. I just want to let you know that I've already talked more than I should have for this introduction. But like I said, when I do my podcast, I chill with you, Happy Life, or I see you being right here with me. And I hope you feel like you're in the room with me, especially this one, because it is so comfy. It's so beautiful and peaceful. It's cold out there. It's warm inside, and it's just a fantastic moment. And that's why I picture you here with me. I'm so tired. I've been out all day, been doing stuff with people all day, spoke this morning, and then I've been hanging out with people all day, and I'm a little loopy, but I feel so content. I was going to record something tomorrow, and I got in here, and I just feel happy. I just feel content. I just feel like, what a good day. And I thought, you know what? I wasn't planning on doing this, but I'm going to record this, and I'm actually going to be able to get this podcast out on time tomorrow morning, just because you warmed my heart, and I wanted to share this moment with you. And so I got this introduction done. There's not going to be any editing on this. It's a talk that I did with Joe from Mojo Studio about being thankful, about Thanksgiving, and there's got some great insights in there. Joe has got a fantastic mind, a fantastic heart, and I'm honored to do this episode with him. So enjoy Joe McCarthy and myself, or what we like to call ourselves, the Modern Day Nerds. Oh, one more thing. I told you I'm feeling a little loopy. It isn't an episode with just Joe McCarthy and I. There's also an incredible human being called Kristen Brown. You can check her out at Kristen Brown, Kristen with a K, brown.org. She is fantastic, and it's a weekly program that I get to be a part of now on Friday afternoons around noon. I think it's 11:30 Pacific Standard Time, and it's called Modern Day Alchemist. And this particular episode, I believe, is called Thanks Living. So I didn't want to leave Kristen out of this, and I had to come back and record this. I started putting the whole podcast together, and then it dawned on me, wait a minute, it's not with just Joe. It's not Modern Day Nerds then. It's Modern Day Alchemist. Modern Day Nerds is when Kristen isn't around. It's just, just Joe and myself. So I hope you enjoy this. Let's turn our Thanksgiving into Thanks Living.
Come on. There we go. Well, all right, here we go. Here we go. We are live. We are live. Are you live, Steve-O? Are you live?
I am alive, man.
All right. 100%.
Well, KB looks live.
Already. This is Joseph Mojo McCarthy. Welcome to Modern Day Alchemists, episode 27. And this one in particular is all about Thanksgiving, not just Thanksgiving. And we'll get into that in just a moment. But I am Joseph Mojo McCarthy, and I'll let my two beautiful co-hosts introduce themselves as if you have never met them, because I know there will be some people who will tune in for the first time today or after the fact that won't have a clue who any of us are. So we'll take a moment here to introduce ourselves so you get a little bit of familiarity, and then you can decide whether or not we're credible or not. Okay, Kristen, let's start.
If you like us at all, if you don't like us, it's okay. We're okay.
We get it. There's a lot of people in that category.
Hello, everyone. My name is Kristen Brown, and I help people reclaim their personal power. And I do this by honing in on the blocks, the subconscious blocks that are keeping them stuck. And once we can catch those blocks and reframe those blocks, then we can live a more empowered life.
Beautiful. Hello, everybody. I'm Steve Hayes. And what she said.
Ditto.
You're not what she said.
I'm not beautiful either. You said you're beautiful co-host. Anyway,
hey, inside out, baby. Think from the inside out.
Plural.
Dude, I can't say beautiful, man. You lose your man card. I'm a happypreneur. I'm here to help you navigate, activate, and advocate your happy life. I'm from Happy Life Studios here in the Pacific Northwest. Joe has a brother, sister of ours down there in Orange County. And I'm also a messenger. I'm here to help. And it's an acronym. I'm here to bring healing. I'm here to encourage. I'm here to make you laugh. And I'm here to make you ponder. And I'm here super excited to be with the Joe, the Mojo McCarthy, and the KB, Kristen Brown. Let's get to talking about this. Oh, you got to introduce yourself too, don't you, Joe? Hey, Joe, why don't you, our beautiful, beautiful host here, why don't you introduce yourself to us?
No.
I didn't hear any of that. I'm having issues on my end. Am I back?
You're back.
Can you hear me now?
You're back.
You're back.
Cool. All right.
We know you have issues,
my
Joe.
Front. My back's over here. Okay.
There it is. Okay.
By the way, Steve-O, regardless of whether you like it or not, you are beautiful from the inside out.
Wow.
So there you go. All right. So Modern Day Alchemist started, over a year ago, I think now. Yeah, it's a little over a year ago. And we did have a hiatus. Oh, George Evans put your acronym in the chat there, Steve-O. I don't know if he's calling for help or he's just reemphasizing what you just said, because I missed all of that. I am Joseph Mojo McCarthy, as I said, and you can see and catch me on all the different platforms by just going to mojo.studio. But Kristen and Steve-O and I, for the last few weeks, have talked in depth about self-love, self-worth, and self-confidence, which are all vital for having a life that's meaningful and purposeful and fulfilling and peaceful. I mean, all the good stuff comes right out of those three things. And it's really interesting that as we moved into Thanksgiving, and we were talking offline about what do we talk about this Friday, of course, Thanksgiving makes perfect sense. But it was interesting that same morning, I get a text after we decided, yeah, let's talk about gratitude because that's so vital for our well-being. And I got this text from Dean Graziosi. I'm on his list. And it's basically said, do you consider yourself worthy of gratitude? And I was like, what? Wait, what? He says, so do you think that, you know, you should be grateful when you achieve something or when you receive something or when you get to a certain level? Is that when you'll be grateful? Right? And I was like, whew, good question. And Steve-O pointed out, what a great absolute transition from 3 weeks of talking about self-worth and self-love and self-confidence to have this question come up at just the right time, divine synchronicity, that says, hey, do you understand, right, that Thanksgiving or that gratitude isn't something you have to wait for until you achieve something or receive something, right? That there's something much deeper, much more powerful about gratitude. And I was like, boom, right? This is where we're going. And so I don't know exactly the way the conversation will go. I just love how this conversation flows between the three of us. And I encourage everybody who's tuned in, as you're listening to us, understand we're not giving you answers. We're sharing our perspective so that you can ask yourself the question, what do I think about gratitude? How important is gratitude to me? Am I waiting for something? Do I think I deserve to be grateful? And if not, Why? Because only you can answer that question. And it's our hope, it's our intention that the conversation that we have in the next 45 minutes or so will bring something to your conscious awareness that will help you get clarity on where you are on this journey, right? And then propel you forward. That's why we're here. Yes, Kristen, please jump in.
So I took that text that you received from Dean a different way when you said, great, do you deserve gratitude?
I did too.
Yeah.
I know where you're going.
Can't wait to hear it. Yeah.
And I wrote down, so many people don't feel like they themselves are worthy of gratitude. Yep. So if someone thanks them for something or gives them a compliment for something, they have a really difficult time receiving it. And the thing is that what I learned about gratitude is that when somebody is grateful for us or thanking us for something, they're in their heart center at that point, and they're extending love to us. And if we go, oh, no, not me, or forget it, or this old dress, you know, when we shove that off, whatever is coming towards us, we're actually blocking love.
Yep.
And I think it's a hella practice for people to receive love as equally as give love, and receive gratitude as equally as give gratitude. And there's not much that you have to do. Just sit in the energy of it. When that person says, thank you, I really appreciate you, you did great, whatever it is that they're having gratitude expressed towards you about, just receive it. Just thank you, I receive. You know, it doesn't mean that you are arrogant. It doesn't mean you're better than other people. Right. This is the giving, exchanging of energy on this planet. And love is the highest form of energy. And so equally to, by you receiving, you're actually allowing that person the gift of giving. Because it's just like if someone gives you a beautiful gift and you go, I don't want that. You know, it's their heart that wants to give. And so then you're blocking that. The same thing is true with when people are grateful for you.
Yeah, I think it's dishonoring to the people that are saying that. Even if you don't believe it, just say thank you. Just say thank you to honor that person who opened up their, what did you call it? The love giver.
I don't remember. An energy exchanger. Yeah.
But they're opening themselves up to you. And even if you don't believe it, just say thank you because it honors them. And you know, when you say thank you, it actually tells your body to accept a little bit about what they just said. You know, yeah, that's how I took it too.
Absolutely. Well,
That's so cool, though, that we all receive the same message and we all get something different out of it. Right? Yeah. Yours is very similar between the two of you. But as I'm listening to you talk, I realize how many times in my life that I did that when people were thanking me for whatever it is that I did. I'm pushing it away. I'm like, no, I shouldn't receive any praise and no, you know, don't bring any glory to me, et cetera, for this false notion that I was under that it was better not to receive any praise. And quite honestly, that there was a spiritual overlay, as you guys have heard me many of my conversations, that I was taught and I think misunderstood this scripture that says, you know, you don't want to get any rewards here on earth because, you know, you want to store up your rewards in heaven. And so I didn't want to take any credit for whatever it is that I did that made a difference in someone else's life. But what I didn't understand, as I'm beginning to understand now, is that, as Steve said, I was disrespecting, I was cutting off a blessing for the person who's trying to give me gratitude, right? And we talked about last week quite a bit about how it's better to give than to receive because that's a blessing in the giving itself. And here I was inadvertently, you know, not intentionally, cutting off the blessing from someone who's trying to give a gift of gratitude to me. And I think it does tie right into what Dean was saying, is that I didn't believe that I deserved to receive that gift. Really interesting.
But I also like your take too, which is I can't be grateful until something good happens to me, right? Then we limit ourselves. And the truth is we can all be grateful for something, you know. Grateful is the key to happiness. When you're thankful, when you have gratitude, right? When you're living in thanks is I'm looking at what I have. Discontentment, which is the opposite of happiness, right? Is I focus on what I don't have. And sometimes we wait for something nice to happen before we can be thankful. And I don't think we have to do that. We can be thankful right now simply by focusing on, wait a minute, what do I have?
Yeah, this is reminding me of something too, that a lot of times when people are going through a trial, they're going through some type of suffering in their life, they're like, I have nothing to be grateful for. You know, it's these little tiny perception shifts that I have that I'm about to share with you that I have changed within myself. And that has made my path smoother at least a little bit more calmer amongst the turmoil and whatever it is that is going on. And one of the things that we can do is when we're in that space, because this is a real space that people can get into where they really believe their mind and they believe that they don't have anything to be grateful for. Nice. So there's two things I want to say about this. One is that I practice this. If things are tough, I say, thank you, God, universe, source, whoever. I'm comfortable with the word God. Thank you, God, for bringing me through this. I know this is just a trial and you will bring me through this. Like I will get the answers and the ideas and the creative hits or whatever it is to help me get through this. So
being, you say that before you're done with it, right? You say that while you're in it. Is that what you're saying?
While you're in it. So it's that gratitude in advance feeling.
Yes.
That even still, if it's gratitude in advance, it's still gratitude. And Abraham Hicks has a energy emotional guidance scale. And I use this a lot with my clients. When they come in, I'll say, where are you at on the scale? And it's 22 things. And they'll pick it out. By the end of the session, hopefully they've moved up quite a few on the scale, which they have. I've yet to have someone do that. But the number one highest energetic frequency that we can be in, and Abraham Hicks is all about manifestation and law of attraction, but the highest frequency that we can be in is love, appreciation, and gratitude. So even if we're in a trial, we find the gratitude in something, right? In something in our life, because there is so much to be grateful for.
Yeah.
It's so good. But
you guys both know that my frame of reference, because of my upbringing, is often biblical principles. And there's this one Bible verse that always gets me. And it's, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you, right? And I got to tell you, as a follower of Christ and as a Christian, you know, many times in my life, throughout my life, I've said, what's your will for my life, God, right? I want to do your will because I know it's going to be better than whatever I come up with. And I don't always hear a directive, but then I open up my Bible and it says, here, Joe, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will. Well, there's one answer, right? One answer that I know God's will for any of us, all of us, is to be grateful. But the wording there is so precise. It doesn't say for everything, give thanks. Right. It says in fact, one interpretation is in every circumstance, give thanks, which to me is brilliant and no surprise. But it ties directly to this Viktor Frankl idea, who wrote Man's Search for Meaning. He says, in every circumstance, there's this little space between stimulus and response where we choose what meaning are we going to assign those circumstances. And God's giving us a clue, hey, the circumstances don't determine whether you're grateful or not. Your choice does, right? So choose in advance, as Kristen was saying, choose in advance that even when the circumstances suck, am I going to have enough faith to believe that it doesn't feel good now, but it's for my good in the long run, right? Mm-hmm. Am I going to believe that it feels like I'm going to die, but I have the strength to survive, that God is for me, that the universe is in my favor, that the universe is benevolent? Because what I believe is actually what's going to happen, right? Whether I believe it is or it isn't, I'm going to be right either way. So God's saying, use the power of that intention and that focus. Be mindful, fill your mind with gratitude, because it'll change the way you endure and overcome the circumstances you're in.
Okay, absolutely. Viktor Frankl, who you quoted there, is saying that he knows what he's talking about. Right. He was wasn't he the prisoner in the concentration camp?
Holocaust. Yeah, he's a Holocaust survivor. Holocaust. That's right.
And that he says that coming out of the pain. In fact, give us the whole thing too, Joe. You know probably the details of it better than me, but the whole concept of the he said, my happiness is the one thing they cannot take away from me. The Nazis cannot take away from me, because they were asking him, how can you be so happy with all that's going on in the concentration camp, which is way worse than everything we've been going through in the last how many years, right? Yes. And he said, they can take away my freedom, but they can't take away my happiness. They can't take. It's a choice that we make, right?
Yeah. Well, specifically, and I'll get to you, Kristen, in one second. Specifically, Viktor Frankl was saying, the one human freedom they can't take away from me is my choice. Right. My choice to assign something positive, even in the worst of circumstances. And as Steve pointed out, none of us have ever suffered anything like the Holocaust. Yeah. Thank God. Right. Oh. But whatever I'm going through, if Viktor Frankl who I'm not even sure what his faith was, and it doesn't really matter, but if Viktor Frankl figured out in the worst possible inhumane circumstances in history that he could find meaning and purpose in life, there's a good chance we all have that. That it is, yes.
So you basically said what I was going to say. He's Jewish, Joe. He's in a concentration camp. What's interesting is that my girlfriend sent me this book. I had never read it. I think I'd heard about it just here and there, but she sent it to me. She goes, I want you to read this book so much. We were on the phone. She's Amazoning it and sending it to me and I read the book. I don't know. It was probably a year or two ago. Maybe it was like right after COVID. And I wrote the same thing down here. And I believe, if I'm correct, that he wasn't he a psychologist or something? Going in there. And the one thing that he said, because he was kind of researching while he was in there, and he was paying attention to the people that flourished and the people that perished emotionally and mentally first. And it was the people that did not have a good grasp on choosing the proper perspective. And this goes into a serving perspective would be a better word, a serving perspective, something that would help to keep them high. And he even says it at the end of the book, something to that effect, is that the people that made it through were the people that chose to see things differently, that chose a more positive perspective in the midst of like what is just some of us can't even wrap our heads around, just mind-blowing heinousness, right?
Right.
Just absolutely awful. Yeah.
Can you break that down for us today when you said those that made it through because of Kristen? What does that mean to me today?
Because they chose a perspective that was positive and better serving for them. It's also in the movie, It's a Beautiful Life, wonderful. Where the man's in a concentration camp and he's another gentleman that's in a concentration camp and his son is in there too. Right. And so every time he sees his son, he acts like he's marching happily with these soldiers and he's doing all these things because he knew that the perception mattered. And if he could bring a different perception to his child, then maybe it wouldn't be as disastrous or traumatizing as it could be.
So let me capitalize on two things that you just said there that are so important. One is the choice that we have to assign meaning to any circumstances. That was the whole premise of Viktor Frankl's experience and then the book that he wrote, which if you haven't read it or you haven't read it recently, I highly recommend you do because it has a profound effect on the way you understand existence. But in the Beautiful Life, the movie, which is kind of loosely based on Viktor Frankl's ideas, the dad wasn't doing it for himself. Kristen pointed this out. He's doing it for his child, right?
Yeah.
And she used the word serving. Now, serving has two capacities, and we've touched on both of these. I just want to highlight it. Serving is what is serving me, right? What's serving me in this circumstance? If I focus on what's wrong with the world, then my world is wrong.
Right.
If I focus on what's right with the world, my world is right. But that is serving me.
Can you say that again, Joe?
Yeah. Well, focus is so important because we create the world that we pay attention to. So if I pay attention to what's wrong with my world, and there's plenty of things that are wrong in every circumstance, there's plenty of those things. But if I pay attention to what's wrong with my world, then my world is wrong. If I choose to pay attention to what's right in my world, and this is where gratitude really comes in, then I take the exact same circumstances. I just change my focus and I pay attention to what's right with my world. Now my world is right. And Viktor Frankl proved that this isn't just flowery words. It's real life in the worst of circumstances. But I just wanted to make sure that people understood that in The Beautiful Life, the man wasn't just doing it for himself. And actually he had a much better experience in that concentration camp because if he was choosing what to serve his son, he was serving someone else who he loved. And so he might have inside felt like, this is hell on earth, but I'm not going to let my son see the hell I'm going through. So in choosing to focus on serving someone else, we can actually pull ourselves out of the hell that we're in. Yes, Kristen.
I just want to piggyback on that quickly because I know Steve-O's probably has a lot of energy and wants to talk about this, but just that point, that's all I want to highlight is that when I was going through my greatest hell, my tsunami that most people know about, it was awful, awful. Somewhere, somehow, I read something, when you're going through hell, go serve someone else. Yeah. So I was attending a Unity church and they had all these volunteer opportunities. And wouldn't you know, in my lowest of low, my darkest of dark, the worst of worst, I drummed up the energy, grabbed those kids, and we went and did Feed My Hungry Children, where you're just making baggies and stuff. But the energy that I felt afterwards for being of service to somebody else, the kids, like we felt like we did something beautiful in the world. So there is something really truly special about when you're at your lowest, go give love to someone else, go help someone else.
Yeah. All right, Steve, unleash the hounds, baby.
I'm actually just enjoying you guys talking. Any of us could go all day long on this, but what you guys are saying are just, you're spot on. You know, that's the ticket. At Happy Life Studios, you know, we define a happy life. A lot of people, everybody wants to be happy, but a lot of people, they got the definition all mixed up, right? Yeah. We define a happy life in a Happy Life Studios not as, well, I got to get rid of the negative so I can be positive. If I can get rid of the sadness, then I'll be happy. Well, then you're rarely ever going to be happy because circumstances just don't play along with that. You know, we define a happy life as a lifestyle where you get and keep happy despite what your circumstances are.
Yeah.
And that's what Viktor Frankl did. And to be honest with you, this is a journey that I've been on for quite a while because I could be a negative cuss, man. I could be a negative person. I really can, which I think is funny that I do Happy Life Studios, but Happy Life Studios actually helps me keep on that portion of. And so it's not always that easy. On the one hand, it's not easy to try to be grateful when life sucks, right? But on the other hand, it's incredibly easy, or maybe I should say incredibly simple. When you don't know what to do, when life sucks and we're trying to keep our peace, we're trying to maintain control, right? We're trying to get rid of our anxiety. Instead of focusing on getting rid of the anxiety, instead of focusing on getting rid of the sadness, instead of focusing on decreasing the negative and increasing the positive, just find something that you have that you can be grateful for. Just find something that you can, that's really the answer. And happy will follow that, you know, peace will follow that. So the solution really is simple. And, you know, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I've told people, even if you don't believe it, say it. So like when someone compliments you, like we were talking about earlier, when you say thank you, it's telling your body is hearing you say thank you, and your body is saying, maybe there was some truth to that. So you guys keep on going. I'm loving what you guys are talking about.
I just want to piggyback on that real quick, because I know also Mojo, you got a lot to say too. It's in the time reference. I want to piggyback on that real quickly, because I'm really, for some reason, feeling energetically that people are going to listen to this. They're going to be like, yeah, you don't know. You don't know my life. And I'm not saying that in any way condescending, because I understand that place when you are at your darkest. And I was there. And I want to say this, that what Steve-O was saying, I'm piggybacking on that portion, that I had a friend. This is going to be a little dark, you guys, but please bear with me. She was killed by a drunk driver and her daughter. And I remember at my lowest of low and my most sad and anxiety ridden and fearful that I could be, I remember thinking, but at least my wife and daughter aren't dead. Because that to me was an up level. It up leveled just a little bit because somebody had it worse. Like that to me, then I could really roll around on the ground. But I wasn't quite, did you see what I'm saying, y'all?
Yeah.
It was like I had to find something because I was that low that I was like, well, at least this isn't happening, or at least that isn't happening. And that it just moved me up just a little bit on the scale. So for anybody that's suffering, there is something. You know, it could be worse. People are like, it can't be worse. Yeah, I would have said the same thing, but it can be.
And I want to piggyback on that as well. It's my turn to piggyback now. But you can take that to a whole, right? You can take that to a whole other level, right? Where we often are not grateful for something until we lose it. And that is a dark story.
Say that again.
It happens all the time. What was that, Joe?
Yeah.
Say that the phrase is so powerful. Sometimes, say it again.
We don't appreciate what we have until we lose it.
Yeah.
Until we don't have it anymore, right? Yeah. So when you're saying, I'm so grateful that my spouse and my child is still alive, well, why wait until we lose something like that to be like the people that, that lost that? I can guarantee they would like, I thought I had it bad before, but man, what I would do anything to get my father back, or I would do anything to take those words back, or I would do anything. The truth is, we can learn to appreciate something while we have it.
Yeah. Yes. While we have it. So, so good, Steve. Such a great reminder. And like almost all the truths that and the wisdom that we share, we're not coming up with some brand new idea, right? We are reminding ourselves and those of you that tune in of what you know to be true. It just gets buried under really false messages. Unfortunately, we live in a society and we have our brains not always serving us well that are giving us messages that sound true, but they're actually counterproductive. And so the natural scientists and the social scientists all say that our brains have a negativity bias, that it, in the absence of information, our brains are hardwired evolutionarily to go to the negative. Well, what if, whenever there's a what if question, our natural tendency, our inclination is to fill in the what if with what if all hell breaks loose? What if I die? What if this is the worst thing that could ever happen to me? What if I never, what if I never succeed? What if I never get out of here? What if? And all the what ifs are worst case scenario. And I know people pretty close to me who are like a worst case scenario handbook on legs. No matter what circumstance they're in, their brains are like, okay, this could go wrong and this could go wrong and this could go wrong. The truth is, any of those things could happen. It's absolutely right. And but the other side of that what if question is that it's a 360 degree question. We just go in one lane because that's where our brains go to preserve us, right? That's to keep us alive. But I have to force myself almost every day to say, when the what if question comes and I know my instincts will say, what if I'm going to get hurt? I can say, yes, well, that's one possibility out of an infinite number of possibilities. And many of the other possibilities are, what if this is precisely what I need, precisely when I need it? This is for my benefit. This is for the benefit of my family. This is God telling me how much he loves me in a package that I didn't ask for. What if, right? So I don't know what the answer to the what if question is, but if I only fill in the blank with what if this is the worst possible thing, that's the world I live in. So I say, take the what if question and play it in every direction. Don't have the whatever they call it, the toxic positivity that says, well, nothing bad could ever happen. That's not true either. That's not reality. Bad stuff does happen to good people all the time. But what if, right? What if in the big picture, in the long run, this is actually working out for my benefit? Yes, Kristen, jump in.
It's what you're talking about is the story that we're telling ourselves. And we are constantly in some type of narrative within our brain, constantly. And I feel like I've lived a better life when I've been very conscious of what I've been unconscious about. So when I slow down and I ask myself, what are you thinking? What are you believing? And the story we can tell ourselves about something. And you and I, and Steve-O probably as well, but many times have said, that things are happening for us, not to us.
Yes, right.
That sounds kind of trite, and some people might not like that, but during my tsunami is when I heard that some 12 years ago. And I adopted that. I'm like, this is happening for me. This is happening for my highest good, for my highest good. There's something great coming from this, and something really great did come from that. But there's ways we can see things when things are a little tender and a little scary. And I will get a quote, Andy Dooley, who's just a beautiful human being on this planet. He does law of attraction stuff. And one of his go-to phrases is, everything is always working out for me. Mm-hmm. So even if it's tumultuous and we just stop for a minute and say, everything is working out for me, even just trying to find a parking space, everything is working out for me. You're suffering with your child or a spouse or something. Everything is always working out for me. And what this is doing is, this is sending these powerful rockets of highest possible vibe, where you are allowing God to work miracles in your life because you're saying, everything is working out for me. You know how expansive that is? So the universe can take all of these infinite possibilities because we have now opened the door for change and for things to shift and morph, instead of going, things always suck, it's never getting any better, and we're scared, which, by the way, y'all, is just survival mode. It's just being, because you were activated at some point in your life, you got stuck in survival mode and you're still there. And Dr. Joe Dispenza says that people can spend a lifetime in survival mode. And that is a choice. Now, they're unconscious to it a lot of times. They don't realize they're in survival mode. But when we can step back from it and say, you know, I get to choose my perspectives. I get to choose how I see things. And I get to choose really basically my future. So by saying everything is always working out for me, man, that just, doesn't that just feel good to hear? Everything is always working out for you, Mojo. Everything's always working out for you, Steve-O.
Yeah, that I can't tell you how important this has become in my life in the last few years, because I've lived a life of faith, tried to follow the things that the Bible say. I pray. In fact, my prayer life is often just a running conversation with God, no matter where I am. It's not
me when too.
Not when I get down on my knees next to my bed, although right. that happens as well. Steve-O can tell you how many times God talks to him in a song or a movie or, you know, in crazy circumstances. I think all three of us kind of have that,
yeah.
Right? But my point here is that it's so easy and so natural, and the inclination is when something goes wrong to start with the question, why me? Why now? What did I do to deserve this, right? These are the questions that bubble up first. Those are the easy questions. But if I'm not very careful, I will stop with those questions instead of letting those questions pass, saying, okay, I know those are going to come. So rather than try to suppress them and act like they're not there, I just say, okay, I know those questions are going to come at first because they always do. Swipe those away. Now, what are the real questions? What are the better questions? How is this working for my benefit? Maybe I can't see it. Maybe I won't see it for a year or 10 years. Maybe I won't see it until I'm in eternity, but am I willing to trust, right, that there is an unconditional, loving creator, source, universe, people use different words for this, that actually cares about me enough to even allow negative, my word, circumstances? Why? Because it's working for my fit. It's building character, grit, perseverance, patience, all the things that we want in our lives are actually required that we have to work for them, right? That we have to go through something to get to that other side. And so it's just hard to see it when you're in the middle of it because it sucks and it's dark and it's gooey and it's, you feel like you're in quicksand, you're never going to get out. But maybe by pushing those muscles against the quicksand, I get stronger. And then I get out of the quicksand and I realize, what the heck? That I thought I was going to die and I didn't. Next time I land in quicksand, I go, all right, grab a tree branch, pull myself out. You know, and it's not that easy. That's a simplified version, but it's a bunch of baby steps. And before I pass this off one more time, the memory comes back to me of the first Rocky movie, right? Rocky Balboa. He has no self-esteem, no self-belief that he's worth anything. He just thinks he's a piece of garbage, and that can, you know, beat up a piece of meat. That was, you know, the hangs in the freezer. That was kind of his life. No self-esteem, no self-worth, no self-love, any of that. And he gets this shot because the champ wants to have this, you know, needs a fight and pick somebody, figured he can beat to a pulp in front of the entire world. So Rocky's like, well, this is my shot. I don't think I deserve it. You know, that kind of thing. He gets in the ring in the final fight, fast forward, final fight, and he's getting clobbered. Every round he's getting clobbered. He's getting hit. He doesn't hit the ground, but he's getting beat up to a pulp. He gets beat up so much that he can't see through his eyelids. And he asks his trainer, cut me, Mick, cut through my eyelids so that I can see where the punches are coming from. But what happens in this amazing scene is that Mick tells Rocky, he says, guess what? The champ has unloaded everything he can on you and you haven't gone down, right? You haven't gone down yet. And Rocky's like, what? He says, the champ is tired. He's unloaded everything he's got. He has pounded you for rounds and rounds, and you're still standing. And he doesn't have a clue. He's like, what is with this guy? Right? And suddenly you see Rocky's going, wait, what? And Mick says to him, this is my interpretation. Mick says to Rocky, you can take everything he's given you, and now it's your turn. And Rocky's like, all right, right, okay. And he gets up off the music changes, and he gets up off his bench. The guy who's just about dead realizes, you know, I've taken the worst of it. I'm still standing. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to be not on the offense rather than on the defense. And it's one of the great scenes of all times, right? And Adrian, it. I can't see. I'm bruised. I'm battered. I'm torn. But I won, right? The champ unloaded on me, and I was able to do it. But it took that turn of confidence, not just inside of Rocky, but from someone who he trusted that said, hey, you have taken a beating, but you're not dead yet, right? It's your turn. And then you get up off your chair like, okay, maybe I can do this. And I'm so grateful for the mix in my life, right? Which is Steve-O and Kristen and a few others in my life that says, yeah, you've taken a beating, Joe, but look at you. You're stronger now than you were before the beating. Really?
Spoiler alert. Now I can't watch Rocky anymore now that you spoiled it for me.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, Kristen, jump in.
Two things. First of all, I highly recommend the Netflix show, or it's a documentary called Sly. Have you guys seen that yet? Oh my gosh. No. Oh, it's so, so, so good. I hung up from that being like, oh my God, that was amazing. Okay, so I'm going backwards a little bit to when Mojo was talking about can't see it now. And I think that is one of the hardest things for human beings, for us to have blind faith, is what we might call blind faith. But in my travels, I have learned that I can choose either faith over fear. I can choose one or the other.
And I pause you just for a second. It's the same amount of energy to choose either one. Right?
I can choose faith over fear. Yep. Yeah. But the ego is loud and it yells at you and it's cunning and it lies and it scares you. And so again, that reptilian part of us that, you know, is built to survive. We listen to that really, really easily. And so what we can slow down and say, this is my ego. This is fear. And just kind of slow that roll down and start to pivot a little bit. But how I do that is because what we focus on grows. So if I'm continuing to think of worst case scenario, I'm pouring a lot of my vital life force energy into things continuing to go south. But if I can just shift and pivot just a little bit, just a tiny little bit, and start to pour some in a different arena, then I'm going to build that up over there. I was watching, have you guys seen the Netflix show Nyad? It's someone's last name, NYAD. It's the 64-year-old lady that swam from Cuba. The movie's incredible. It's incredible. But here's the thing is, in one of her go-arounds, because it took her the fifth attempt that she finally made it. She started to do it, kept failing, and then
She actually started it when she was like a teenager or something, and she couldn't do it, and she decides to restart again at 60. I mean, that adds a lot to the story.
30 years later, but I don't want to give it away, Steve-O.
Why can't I give away NIAID?
Okay. So anywho, but there was at one point, and I didn't realize how complicated this was, but there's a boat navigator and there's actually the boat captain, the skipper. And at one point the navigator said, if you are like a tenth of a something off, are going to end up. And he said, wherever you're going to end up. You know, the Caribbean or whatever. Yeah. And he's like, just this tiny little bit, but we can take that idea and use that to our advantage. I talk about this a lot in my work because the slightest shift in perception over time, maybe, you know, it's right here at first, but over time, it's going to get us farther and farther away. The same thing where she was swimming just slightly off course. She was going to go a different direction. And you can see that at the end of the movie, they will show all of her routes that she failed. And it should have been a straight line. And some of the routes are like this, you know, because somehow she got off course. So my point is that if we stay focused on the direction we want to go, not the current circumstances, they're fleeting, right. They're passing, they're going to pass. This too shall pass. You know, there's always these seasons. And it's when I have taken in, guys, these little tiny sentences. And I'm like, there's truth in that because I can feel the truth in that. And then I started focusing on that. Then I started to grow in that arena rather than being over here in the dumps.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've shared this before, but it fits perfectly in this conversation that statistically they've analyzed transatlantic flights from LA to New York or vice versa. And once the plane's off the ground and everything's good, the pilot lets go of controls and puts it on autopilot. And so the autopilot's monitoring all the gears and all the gauges and all the circumstances and the atmosphere and all that kind of stuff. And statistically, the plane is off course, if you drew a straight line from the takeoff to the landing, is off course 60 to 70% of the trip. And you think, what? How can that be? And how does it even end up where it's supposed to end up, right? Because the pilot isn't controlling it. It's all the autopilot. Well, they said, because think about it. The autopilot is analyzing all of the different circumstances at all times. And when it gets off course, which inevitably it will, because the wind and the ducks and the geese and the clouds and the barometric pressure and the flaps and all that kind of stuff, the plane's always shifting in because of all of the external circumstances. But because the autopilot is paying attention to all of these things, then it course corrects, right? So it goes off course corrects, goes off course corrects. The flight is never in a straight line from the beginning to the end, and it's off course 60-70% of the time, but it lands exactly where it's supposed to land. Why? Because it's always monitoring what's going on and making the course corrections. And I would propose that, especially because of this particular talk, that the best way to course correct, or one of the strongest, most powerful ways to course correct, is through gratitude. It's focusing on, right, the destination. It's focusing on where do we want to land. Yep. Because if I focus on everything that's wrong, if I'm looking at the wind all the time, or like Peter gets out of the boat, Jesus says, hey, you want to walk to me? Peter gets out of the boat in great faith, and he's walking on water. Nobody'd ever done that before other than Jesus. He's walking on water. And then the scripture says, but then he realized that the wind and the waves were against him, and he starts to sink. Took his eyes off the prize and sees the circumstances, starts to sink. Now, Jesus, because by the way, this is for all of us. Jesus reached down and grabs him out of his lack of faith and saves him, puts him back on the boat. But the metaphor is really strong here, and it applies. What we're talking about is that if I focus on the prize, on the goal, on the intent, on the gratitude, then all of the circumstances haven't changed. But my focus has changed, and so the circumstances don't have the same effect. But as soon as I take my eyes off of what I'm grateful for and how life is working out in my favor and God loves me and all that kind of stuff, then I see all of the circumstances, which were exactly the same, and I start to sink physically, metaphorically. It just fits. And gratitude is one of those things that can course correct throughout your life and get you to the right destination.
So I have a question then. How come Thanksgiving is in like 6 days, which is perfect timing for this. And that's one of the reasons why we're doing this, right?
Yep.
We know that, right? But Christmas is like 37 days away. You know how I know Christmas is 37 days away? Because I was driving by a house a couple of days ago. Maybe it was last night, the day before. I don't know how many days ago it was. And on the side of the house, they had a countdown timer, a light that was counting down the second Christmas. Right. So my question is this, is if we have this countdown till Christmas, from like 100 days out, we'll be like 100 days till Christmas, right? Why do we not have a countdown for Thanksgiving? Because living in thanks changes everything. In fact, if you don't have Thanksgiving, is the godfather of all the major holidays, in my opinion. The holidays don't work if you don't have Thanksgiving. That's why I love how it starts off, you know, the holidays start off with Thanksgiving. But I don't know why we don't count down to Thanksgiving. We only count down to Christmas because Thanksgiving is a warm up for Christmas. Like Thanksgiving is come and go, but let's get to the real holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Thing is the real holiday. And not because of the food and the pumpkin pie either, but because of the perspective. Because I heard someone really cool say one time, a change in perception means a change in direction.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Who is that?
Oh, there she is right there on screen.
Okay. So I'm going to go back to what Joseph was saying. And you were talking about, like, you know, just keeping your eye on the prize and keeping your eye on the prize. And in her fifth swim, okay, there's at one point where, you know, it's, you guys, she's swimming for 60 hours in shark infested waters, jellyfish. You have to watch this. And there's at one point they're looking at her and she's literally just kind of going like this.
Yeah.
And she's like, she's going nowhere. She thinks she is, because they hallucinate, all this stuff happens. I'm going to cry. I can't tell this. This is, oh, I was bawling at the movie. I'm going to say it and cry and look like an idiot. I don't care.
Bring it.
Oh my God. So her best friend, Jodie Foster, jumps in the water with her, which she hadn't been in any of these things, ever got in the water with her. And she said, I'm going to cry. She said, just give me one good one. Just one good one, just that direction. Just because she's like, huh, what? And she's like, just one good one. And she gives one good one. And she goes, oh, just like that. Just like that. Give me one more good one. And she does another one. And then she goes, do you see that out there? And she's like, what? And now at that point, they can see the lights. They can actually see the lights of the Keys. She's still 41 miles away. God. And she's like, just one good one. And then pretty soon she got back in it. Like her body remembered. She, you know, had rest enough, whatever. But it, I was like, you know, it, sometimes it's like that, you guys. Sometimes we are faithless. We are scared. We are at the bottom. And we just need one good one.
Yeah.
Which means one good second.
Yeah.
Which means one good minute. Which means one good thought. And we just keep moving and moving and moving towards the goal. And pretty soon there's a momentum that's built. I talk about this all the time. A lot of times in life we're slow, we're sluggish, we're stopped, whatever it is. And we're kind of like a train, like, a, you know, they put the coal in and eventually those wheels start to go, but guess what? We are going in the right direction. They start to go. And then over time, you know, they start to pick up this pace and then they have the momentum. And then guess what happens? Sometimes it's hard. It can't stop the mofo, right? Sometimes you can't stop it. So, but this is the point. Eventually you will get momentum. It's going to, it can't not happen. It will happen.
Yeah. And then instead of focusing on the destination and go, I'm never going to make it. I mean, I looked at the movie and I'm like, she's not going to make it. She can't make it 41 miles away. So there's no way she's going to make it, but she didn't. Her friend, her true hero, got her there because she didn't focus on the 41 miles. She focused on the next stroke. And right choices always bring right feelings, just not always right away. And so
Say it again, Steve.
Right choices always bring right feelings, but not always right away. So
Slow down, Steve.
A little lit up here, aren't I?
Yeah,
right choices always bring right feelings. If you want to feel right, make a right choice. Just give me one good one. Don't look at the 41 miles away. Don't say I'm never going to get out of debt. Don't say I'm never going to make it through the end of this week. Don't say that. Give me one good choice, because choices, right choices always bring right feelings, not always right away. But if we just focus on that one choice, the right feeling is going to follow from that. And that's exactly what Kristen was saying earlier. You're going to feel better. All of a sudden, you're going to make another right choice. And you're going to feel better. And next thing you know, your attitude of gratitude has just increased. And when your thankful meter increases, your happy meter increases, your peace meter increases, your faith, your dream meter increases. So just give, that's such a great illustration, Kristen. Just give me one, just one choice, just one small action. Don't focus on the 41 miles. Focus on the one little thing, the one little perspective, the one thank you that you can say. Well, at least I have my leg. At least I can see. At least I can speak. At least I can think, whatever the case may be. But make one right choice, and then the right feeling will follow that. Next thing you know, you're in the Keys.
Yeah. So when I was a junior in high school, I went on my first mission trip, went to Jamaica. Steve, that was beautiful. By the way, I haven't seen NIAID. I've seen Rocky a zillion times. But
you need to watch it.
The exact same story. It's the same story. Right. The Rocky one is fictitious. The Naiad is actual a real person. But the story is the same because Mick was Jodie Foster in Rocky,
right,
where Rocky thought, I'm toast. I'm meat. I'm just a punching bag for the champion. And Mick says, hey, get up. Get off your chair. I'll cut your eyelids if I have to. Just get up there. Get back in the fight, right? Get back in the fight. But I was going to tell the story when I was a junior in high school, went on my first mission trip to Jamaica, which is, you know, if you got to do a mission trip, that wasn't a bad place to go, Ocho Rios, Jamaica. But there was this moment, and I'm a junior in high school, between my junior and senior year. And there's this moment when we're having very intense meetings. The sense of God's presence is physical. It's palpable. I can feel it, right? And I just felt this compulsion to say this prayer, very simple prayer. I said, God, just I trust you, so just tell me where to go with my life, and I'll go there. No answer. And I'd pray that prayer, I don't know how many times. God, just tell me, what's the destination, and I'll go there. And finally it dawned on me, years later, that God says, I hear you, Joe, but if I tell you the destination, one of two things is going to happen. One, either you're going to take a straight line from here to there, which isn't the path I have for you, right? Because there's a lot of excursions along the way. Or you'll see the destination and it'll be so overwhelming and so far away, you'll give up. You'll quit. So here's what I'll show you, Joe.
Exactly.
I'll show you the next right step. And then you can choose, are you going to take that one or not? And so now my vision in my head of what faith is like, it's a lantern, but it's not a very powerful one, right? It's enough to see where my foot needs to go next. But until I take that step, I can't see the step beyond it. My faith doesn't show me the entire journey and the destination because it would be too overwhelming. And I would probably take a straight line and life
is scary too.
It'd be scary, right? But with this, it's all dark. I don't know what's going on. I've got this lantern of faith and I can see there is one step that's lit up. So am I willing to step onto that step? Because when I do, then the light of my lantern goes to one more step. And that's the way I got to proceed through life, because that way I am trusting in faith, right, that the next right step will show itself when it's time for me to see it.
Could we give a few?
Throw myself on the ground right now and just like sob. I mean, this like right there. This is so good, so beautiful,
isn't it? Yeah. I would like to give. I wonder if we could give. I know Kristen's probably got a ton of hacks, but I would like to give a couple of simple things, even fun things that we can do to help increase our attitude of gratitude. Some exercises that we can do. One is a happy journal. You know, I sell them as because I believe in them so much. And in the happy journal, it's some people call it a thankful journal, a Thanksgiving, whatever. But you take a sheet of paper, but go buy a notebook or something, put it right by your bed. And before you go to bed at night, you have to write down three things you're thankful for, and you can't repeat anything. Is that what you have there, Joe?
Yeah, right here. Yep. Right here.
Yeah.
This is cool.
So you write. So what I tell people is you have to write down. And if you just want to say one, then just say one, but you can't repeat it. Right. So in other words, if I say faith and family and friends and food over 4 days, whatever,
that's
I can't.
A lot of F words, by the way.
Right. That's true. There's some other F words we could be thankful for as well.
I am thankful for the F word. I'm just letting you guys know. I love it. You know, I do. You know, I do.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
So you write down what you're thankful for. And what happens is somewhere along the line, you're going to run out of your typical things. It could be in one day. It could be in a week, in a month. But you're going to sit there and rack your brain. I can't repeat anything, but I can't go to bed until I write these down. And you'll do that a couple nights in a row until you'll notice something in the daytime. And you'll say, oh, I'm going to write that down tonight. I'm going to remember that. And now you just activated your thankfulness in that moment. So that's a happy journal. The second thing that we can do that I like to tell people about is called a game that my friend and I created. Maybe she copied from somewhere else, but called a thank off. Okay. And that's where you have to go back and forth. Like the three of us in here, we could say, one of us goes, I am thankful for oxygen. And then the next person has to say, I am thankful for electricity. I am thankful for Xbox. I am thankful for indoor plumbing. And you go back and forth until one person stalls for too long, right? And then they're out. And then you keep going until the last one is standing.
Yes.
Or you can have the type of game, if you don't like that kind of a game, you can have the game where you just keep going back and forth until you exhausted what the two of you can think about and see how long it took you. And even go, man, we made it 3 minutes last time. This time we made it 15 minutes or whatever. Or you could even go through the alphabet. I'm thankful for something that starts with A, and then together you can come up with it, or you can. So there's several different variations you could do on this, but you say I'm thankful for, right? And then lastly, this is something that I tried a few years ago and I caught a little bit of flack for it. But now it's funny because now they all do it. All right.
Cool. Of course.
But we had Thanksgiving at my house. And so is my house, my rules, right? So I said, you got to leave $100 before you leave the house. No, I didn't really say that. That would have been
a
good
rule, though. I like that.
I didn't have to share. No.
There you go. So what I said was, I said, I know we all, you know, we gather around here and we pray and then we dive in and we eat until we can't eat anymore, right? I said, but before we do, I am just wondering, could we take a moment here and go around the circle? And you don't have to do it if you don't want to, because it makes some people nervous to be on the spot like that. I said, so if you don't want to do it, just say pass or raise your hand. That's absolutely fine. But I want to give opportunity for those that want to do it. Just tell me something you're thankful for. And then I said, but you can't mention God. You can't mention faith. You can't mention friends. You can't mention family. Can we just say we're all thankful for that? That's what we always go to. We always go to that, and we don't think about all the other things. They're just like, I want to cry. They're like hundreds and thousands and millions of things to be grateful for, and we stick to the big three. Oh, I'm thankful for the food. I'm thankful. Even when we pray for our food, God, thank you for this food. Thank you. What about thank you for this carpet? What about thank you for this hardwood floor? Thank you for this particular food that I absolutely love. And so we went around the circle, and it took them a little bit at first. But now the last couple of Thanksgivings have not been at my house, but the person's house has been at, and I didn't tell them to do this, but they were all giving me a hard time, like, oh, sure, why we have to, and then they wouldn't even say it before. Like, are we going to have to be thankful? I'm like, really? Did you hear?
Do we have to be thankful?
What you just said, do we have to be thankful before we eat today? You know, but it is, I'm telling you, it is the coolest feeling when we go around the circle and we just say what we're thankful for, and you think, I didn't even think about that. Shoes? Are you kidding me? I didn't even think about that. And your thank meter just rises up. Your gratitude meter rises up. And so all these other ones go right along with it. I don't know. You guys probably have a bunch of hacks. And I don't know if we want to continue to go down that path, but I just wanted to give us a few simple hacks that we could do to help us increase our gratitude when we don't feel like being grateful, when we're struggling with being in the pit. These are some things that we can do to help with that.
Awesome. I love all those ideas. And we do a birthday thing, by the way, where we, and everybody's birthday, we go around and talk about what we love about that person.
Right there. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. That's awesome. But I want to do that. And I know that there's a couple of little people in my family to be like, Mom, you know, they are, but okay. Anyway, I'm going to just tell everybody, do you want some things to be grateful for? Watch The Walking Dead. Because they don't have running water. They don't have food. You know.
That was my first go-to, but I love it.
I cannot tell you how many times that Doug and I are in a bike ride, and I'm like, you know, we can ride bikes without thinking about walkers. He's like, yep. I'm like, that's gratitude, you know? But anyway, toilets. The toilet has been in my head this whole time. Let's think about this, y'all. We get toilets.
Right. If you have indoor plumbing, are you kidding me? I mean.
Oh, it's beautiful. No. It's a beautiful thing.
I've been to outhouses. They're not so great. I've been there.
No.
Oh, not so great. So I just wanted to bring a little scientific stuff to this because you all know that I'm a massive follower of Dr. Joe Dispenza. Right. But what has prompted me to do that is that my own experiences that I had solo and separate from ever knowing about his work. And then when I learned about his work, it really supported everything that I had gone through on my own. So I'm like, okay, I want to know more about this. And that's, so it wasn't like, anyway, so there's something that he said, and again, on the frame of that gratitude and appreciation is the highest energetic frequency that we can be in. So we can just list things off. I'm gratitude about this computer and Mojo and Steve-O and my lights, and you know, I can say that type of thing. But he says, when you combine a thought with a elevated emotion, okay. So when you have a thought of something and then it's in your heart and you combine that with an elevated emotion, which is gratitude or love, the highest ones ever, that we quite literally emote an energetic field outside of our body that's been measured that is 6 to 10 meters large.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've heard of 70 feet. I don't know exactly how they measure it, but yeah, I've heard it's
huge. Well, this is out of his mouth, not mine. So he said 6 to, he used to say 9 meters. Recently in recent talks, he's saying 6 to 10. So their research keeps going on and on and on. But what that's saying is that when that energetic field is emanating outside of us, because we're of gratitude, one, we're super attractors. We're people attractors. We are love attractors. We are our dream attractors. Because love has that vibrational frequency to pull things in. Why? Because the quantum field is love. So when we are vibrating that out, we are aligning ourselves with the quantum field to draw into us. And the last thing I'm going to say is that I do have a gratitude thing. Nothing I learned from anybody else, but I love your idea. You can't repeat something, Steve-O. But I, every single night, because I know that the subconscious mind will marinate on what we're thinking about for the 8 hours that we're asleep, I go through a gratitude list and I will lay there. And sometimes it's the first thing that pops in my head always is my bed. And I think that's because I feel safe. And then it's whatever else. And it's the most random things. It's this drink holder, you know, it's the most random things, but I don't just say them. I go, wow, I'm really grateful that I have that. And this isn't the riches and the nice car and the da 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 da. This is that I have a pen that I like the way it writes. Right. You know, it's the tiniest. This is, I love these things. I've had 10,000 pens and these are the ones that I like, you know? So these type of things. So those, that's in closing what I wanted to say, because this has been such a beautiful talk. I am, my heart is full of gratitude and love as always from speaking with my brothers.
It's beautiful. So we're right at an hour and it felt like it was like 7 minutes or something. It's right. Such a great conversation. And I'm going to push the limits just a little bit on our time because it's so important. I can't think of too many things that are more life-changing than gratitude, right? And as I was thinking, you guys know I love playing on words. And it came to me while you're talking that we often say or see on things this time of year, thankful, grateful, blessed. Thankful, grateful, blessed. These three words go together. And they really do go together. But the word grateful just jumped out at me. Because we spell grateful in terms of gratitude as G-R-A-T-E, grateful. But there's something else that happens when you're full of gratitude. You become grateful, G-R-E-A-T.
Come on, Joe.
Right? You become full of what's great about life, right? So when I'm thankful and I know that I'm blessed, I actually become grateful. Come on. Full of greatness. Because gratitude is greatness, right? And I got to tell you, that's... It's making me tear up now. Yeah, it's making me cry. Thanks a lot. But
we cry a lot. I love it. We're always crying.
But just think of this really important difference. A lot of manifestation language talks about think and say of what you want as if it was already here.
Yeah.
And I'm saying think and say of what you have and be grateful that it is already here.
Come on, Joe.
Right?
Can you say that again?
Yeah. I mean, and I'm not putting down the manifestation language. I think that there's something very powerful about that. But if I'm always caught up on what I don't have that I want to bring to me, I'm actually saying that I'm not enough. I don't have enough. I need something more to be complete or happy or grateful, right? But there's a difference, a powerful difference if I say, rather than trying to manifest something I don't have so that I will be grateful, thankful, blessed, what if... As Kristen said, I look at the pen in my hand and I say, how much technology and information and brilliance and production and resources went into this pen that I really like, right? If you think about it, the technology of a pen, it's pretty brilliant because it has to let out just the right amount of ink for a long period of time. Who thought of that? And how did they put it all together? And how did it end up in my house for like 57 cents, right? It's miraculous if you really think about it. But that's just one example of there is so much that we have and that we are, because have is a lot of the externals, but I have a brain, I have a heart, I have friends, yeah. I have so much stuff that's invaluable. And so gratefulness really is about recognizing and focusing on what I already have and who I already am, right? And then I realize that I'm grateful because I realize how great life is and how great I am and how great you are. So thankfulness is gratefulness, but it's not just G-R-A-T-E, it's G-R-E-A-T. What a great way to live, right? It's great. God is great. Oh, God, we're over there.
I'm writing something in the chat right now just because I wanted to put that, but now that you took a break, I'm just going to say this. Gratitude also always brings us to the pure, generous, present moment. Because when we are in gratitude, we're nowhere else. We're not regretting the past, shaming ourselves.
Again. Can you say that again? When we're in gratitude, what did you say? When we're in gratitude,
we're in the pure, generous, present moment.
We're in gratitude, we can't be anywhere else. Is that what you said?
Yes. We can't be anywhere else but the pure, you know, right here, right in this moment, right now. So we're not, that is like, I'm all about energy, you guys know. And that's like the purest energy that we can be in is this pure, generous, present moment. And if we're in the past, if we're regretting the past, thinking about the past, we're going to be depressed. And if we're in the future and we're fearing the future and what's to come, we're going to be anxious. So gratitude just brings us to this present moment. Even when I am washing dishes, I tell this a lot. If I'm washing dishes and I'm just grateful for warm water, I am so focused. I'm grateful for that I can get this piece of cheese off of this plate because of this lovely suds. I am present, and it's in that presence that I am at peace. And when I am at peace, I'm in a higher vibrational frequency.
Okay, so I'm going to go to three split screen here. You guys might have just where you sit. Okay, so here we are, modern day alchemists, and without any prep, without any notes, without any outline, we filled up an hour, and all three of us have another hour within us without even blinking. But as Steve said, everything that we say, everything that we've shared here, if you don't take action on it, what's the point, right? Inspiration without implementation is delusion. That's Robin Sharma. I quote him all the time because I'm quoting him to myself, right? That there is, it starts with awareness always. Everything, every change in your life starts with awareness, but it can't stop there because then you're just aware of what you don't have or aware, even if you're aware of what you do have, but you don't express gratitude. This is Brendan Burchard. Brendan Burchard says, if you don't express gratitude, who's it going to benefit, right? But when you express gratitude, the person who hears it goes, really? Wow, I made you feel good. I had an impact on your life. And as you both know, just today, I got two separate texts from two completely different people who don't even know who the other are. And they just took a moment to say, hey, something you said really impacted my life. Thank you so much for sharing. And I'm like, really? But if had they not said it, they still would have been grateful for whatever I shared, but I would have received zero benefit. So I'm just saying, people, don't just feel grateful, do grateful, right? Ooh. The doing and the being are both required. Be grateful. And because you are grateful, do grateful. Express through writing, through a voice note, through a text, through a note, through a gift card. Steve's got a zillion ideas about how to show your gratitude.
I love it. Yeah,
because when you express gratitude, not only do you get that joy of giving, but someone on the other end actually benefits as well.
Yep.
All right. So everybody take a second just to tell people how they can connect with you offline and wish people a happy Thanksgiving, and then I'll close. Kristen. Just
go to happylife.studio and you can find wherever all the stuff is on there, our social media. We would appreciate it if you took our stuff and liked it and shared it. Help us spread this happy. Help us spread this grateful. I would say it with Joe and with Kristen as well. When you find their stuff, please like it, share it, because that forces the platforms, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, it forces them really to pay attention and keep putting it in front of the rest of the world. And we've got so many people being so ungrateful and spewing a lot of negative, ugly stuff. But when you find the good stuff out there, just spread it. And boy, so happylife.studio. I'm just in awe from especially the last 15 minutes. It's just been, anyway, I'm done. Take it off me, Kristen.
Take it off of me.
I just take the attention off here because I don't know what else to say except for
so good.
Man, I would recommend listening to the last 15 minutes or whatever it was of this thing over and over again on a regular basis because, wow.
Want to say that, you know, this organic tearing up that everybody sees us do because one of us is crying in one of the, you know, always, or all three of us. And this is because we do speak from our heart, because we are heart-centered, and we do have a nice flow going in and out of our heart, right? So emotions are good, and they touch people, and I'm grateful to be creating with two people that are really so open-hearted. So thank you, brothers. I am grateful for you. Mwah. Okay, you can find me at kristenbrown.org. Everything's there.
And tell me about your book, Kristen, because I forgot to say that up front.
Mojo.
You know what? Okay. You had to do it.
She had a recovering people pleaser, a spiritual guide to reclaiming your true worth and attract the love you deserve. You can find this on Amazon. You can find it on my website too, kristenbrown.org.
Awesome.
Thank you, Mojo.
Awesome. And mojo.studio right below my face is a link tree. It goes to all my socials, my website, my gear store, on and on it goes. And to Steve-O's point, if you're grateful for this conversation and you think, well, what can I do? I don't have any money, right? Who cares? We're not asking for money. We're not doing this for money. But as Steve-O said, like, comment, share, subscribe. Those are four things that will take you less than 4 seconds, and it'll actually make a difference, not just for us, but for all the people who will come across what we just shared, right? As Steve-O says, we actually have way more power than we understand. With like, comment, share, and subscribe, we can actually force the algorithms to take something this good and put it in front of people who who didn't even know that's what they were looking for or that's what they needed, which I call, you know, divine synchronicity as well. Even God can use an algorithm if he so chooses. Okay.
God is the algorithm.
It is our plan to be back next Friday right after Thanksgiving. But I just want to point out before we go that the title doesn't say Thanksgiving. It says Thanks Living. It's not a holiday. It's not a date on the calendar.
It's a lifestyle.
It is a way of life. That's right. Yeah. So God bless you all. We'll talk again. Until next time, live full of gratitude and give it to anybody and everybody.